This is the Sean Salisbury Show. Here are your hosts, the Bench Warmers and Sean Salisbury.
The best white basketball player in Boston history.
Larry Bird's coming on?
No, Brian Scalabrini. Scal. Yeah. Oh. Kind of love Scal. We're
like efforting
him. I know he's busy getting ready for, as he winds it with him. He's got a show. He's on what? He's on the, what do we got?
NBA Sirius XM.
I knew that part. But
CSN New England.
There
the
you go.
Celtics broadcast.
Yeah, does, yeah, exactly.
A little bit of everything.
He does. Scal's versatile. He's a Trojan. Best broadcast goal in the country.
Yeah.
It goes SC, Northwestern, Missouri, and then Syracuse, right?
I love in this room.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
SC's broadcast school.
Yeah, yeah.
Northwestern, Missouri, then Syracuse.
Walk that one back very
carefully. Just a tad bit back. Brian Bear, Robin Carlin, Adam Sager, as we await Brian Scalabrine. Real quick, guys, let's get this in, because I'm going to ask Scal about this. But Steve Kerr, and I may even lean more towards the Cleveland Cavaliers coaching about LeBron James and who the coach is there, but is Steve Kerr, quick, as Brian's here, real quick, is Steve Kerr going to coach in this series at all?
Probably not.
I can't see it.
All right. Well, let's get to it. He's CSN New England. He does the Celtics games. He's got a radio show on Sirius. Covers the NBA. The most important part of this whole thing, aside from he's a folk hero and the best player, best shooting forward ever in Boston history. Oh, he's better than Bird. He's a Trojan. Okay? Screw all that other stuff. He's my guy's USC Trojan. And he's a folk hero, and he does a hell of a job with the Celtics on his broadcast. Brian Scalabrine joins us here on the Sean Salisbury Show. Scal, welcome, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, it's great to have you. So what's, I mean, are you still the most popular guy in Boston, my man?
You know, it's kind of weird. I think they think I average 20 points a game the way they treat me when I walk around. I still don't pay for meals or anything like that. It's just, it's out of control. The bromances are definitely out of control, but... I'm really glad that I got a chance to do this job and cover the Chiefs. It's a fun team. It's a fun, good organization. They're heading in the right direction.
Brian, what's your greatest memory as a player? Whether it was a locker room, a shot, a game, what's your favorite memory playing in Boston?
Yeah, definitely winning the championship in 08. I mean, that was an unbelievable experience. And then, the memories of the locker room, I kind of separate those things out. Just being around the guys and the team and just being around the greatness of Garnett and Pierce and seeing how those guys work every day is one, area that I thoroughly enjoy just being around those type A successful people. And then the other part was, enjoying the ride and the fans and just being a part of, Boston and in their championship tradition and those type of things. So, but winning the championship that whole 10 days afterwards was unbelievable.
Well, NBA has kind of changed a lot with the way people are shooting threes and running. In this series, Scal, there's no lack of offensive firepower with Cleveland and Golden State. But like a lot of championships in football or in baseball when it comes down to pitching, will defense be the difference? Or does defense really in this series kind of take a back seat to the offensive firepower?
Oh, no, defense always, to win a championship, defense is going to be a big key in this one. But it's just really interesting, the two dynamic styles of both teams, right? You have LeBron and Kyrie running all isolation basketball, going from the top of the key, and just really breaking guys down off the dribble, which I got a chance to obviously cover the Celtics series. And when Kyrie's performance on Avery Bradley, who I think is one of the better perimeter defenders in the NBA, I mean, he really just went to work on him. And then you have the Golden State Warriors who do a ton of split action, a lot of cuts to the basket, play out of the post. But then when things aren't going well, they can still go to Kevin Durant, the ISO situation. So, it is going to be interesting. It's ball movement versus isolation, and which one do you favor? I get that LeBron's the best player in the world, but I always feel like passing and moving the basketball is going to be the one thing that the Warriors have a huge advantage of, and that's why I think they're going to win the series.
Brian Scalabrine, longtime NBA player, NBA champion, CSN New England analyst, does Celtics games, also has a radio show, also a captain and on the Big Three, which we'll get to. He's a plethora of jobs. Joins us here on the Sean Salisbury Show on the Orange Insoles guest line. Scal, who's coaching the Cleveland Cavaliers? Is it Tyronn Lue or is it LeBron James?
Yeah.
Truthfully.
I hate that. I hate that everyone, he doesn't get the credit he deserves. I mean, I'm telling you how it's the most difficult thing in the NBA for a coach. And I get it. The expectations and coaching LeBron is because he's a great player is one thing. But, obviously for them, the expectations are to get to the finals and win a championship. And you got to convince LeBron to buy into your system. I mean, like, LeBron in the past has not been a guy that fully bought into all of his coaches. I think it took him a couple, maybe a season and a half, to buy into Spoelstra, who I think Spoelstra is a fantastic coach. But he doesn't just buy into that. So you have to have a lot of moxie to get LeBron on the same page as you and to make adjustments. Because I will say this, LeBron's the smartest player in the NBA. There's no question about that. So if you do something and you're not sure about what you're doing, or you make an adjustment that's not right, he's going to let you know about it, or he's going to give you one of those looks. So to me, I think it's one of the hardest jobs in the world is coaching the best. Not the easiest job because you have the most talent.
Hey, Scal, getting back to the team you cover, my team, the Celtics, the team that is the most interesting heading into the offseason. Number one pick, they could be after Hayward. They could trade for Paul George or Jimmy Butler. Take out your crystal ball here. What ends up happening?
So I think with this pick, if you want to talk about, because they also have Brooklyn's next year's pick. So if you're just talking this year, I think they draft Fultz. I think a guy who would be on their radar, like, this is like the level of which they believe in this pick. I think they believe that they would look to trade for a guy like Anthony Davis, that type of player, Kevin Durant, those type of guys, which I understand those guys are probably not available. So because of that, I think they draft Fultz, and then they hold on to their pick. When they do, or if they do, sign Gordon Hayward, I think that makes next year's pick a little bit more expendable at that point. But I still don't think Danny's going to jump to any type of conclusions and try to make some rash decisions to try to beat this Cavs team or even get close to this Cavs team unless he feels like he can put a championship team together. I think the Celtics right now are playing both sides, right? They're playing the short game. If things work out and they can get to a point where they can compete with the Cavs for go to the finals, that's one game. They're also playing the long game. You know, LeBron, I guess he's going to get old eventually and slow down. So I think that's really where the direction that they're going. So it's not necessarily an all or nothing right now.
Scal, if you had 5 minutes and only 5 minutes speaking of the draft, and LaVar Ball wanted your advice, what would you tell him truthfully?
Man, that's a tough one. You know, like, in one sense, like, I've been all over the board with this. The dad is doing something unprecedented. I get the idea of going after the big sneaker companies. I get all that, and I'm all for that. Really, I am. I've been a Nike guy my whole life, but it's just like I commend people that do that. But on the other hand, is he the guy that should be driving this? Is he the marketing force behind this? Does he have enough moxie to get this company or get it over the hump? So from the whole marketing thing, I wonder if that all becomes like a huge distraction to what this kid is. I really believe in the kid. I think he's going to be a really good player. I think he has like some Jason Kidd qualities as far as on the offensive end. I don't think he's as physically gifted as Jason Kidd was at the same age, and I don't think people have mentioned that because they remember Jason when he was 40 years old. But I think first of all, L.A. is a great place for him, and I think my advice would just be, like, focus on the game. Focus on the game. Like, it's okay to have, like, a big marketing team behind you, but you don't buy into that. You just focus in on getting better. The other people will take care of all that. And if he can separate those two things out, then I think he'll be all right. If he has a hard time with that, then I think it's going to be a little bit of a struggle. But eventually, maybe the shoe company dies out or whatever, and then he just moves on and focuses on the game. Because right now, if you're good at this game and you're one of the elite players, I mean, you're going to make $200, $300, $400 million. Is a shoe deal really going to make that big of a difference?
Probably not. Scal, like that. It's a good problem to have. Scal, real quick, we got about 20 seconds, but I got to get this in. You're the team captain of the Ball Hogs in the Big 3 League.
Yeah.
Like, how good's your team going to be, brother?
Man, I'm pumped, man.
I know you are.
Well, so I took a bunch of guys who were going to be 6'8", that can guard all the positions. I didn't go with a point guard. I didn't go with big men. So that's the deal. And I went to Vegas and saw everyone play, and I thought the only way for us to really win is for us to play positionless basketball. So I went with just straight across the board, 6'8 to 6'10, guys who can shoot, pass, dribble, do everything, and that's what we're hoping to see. But I tell you, the favorite of this team is going to be Kenyon Martin's team. I saw Kenyon Martin. He's in great shape. That team is really good. But we're pumped to be competing and going around the country and still playing.
I'm fired up. My money's on the Ball Hogs. Anytime, Scal, he's just getting
there
a big, no position to guard.
I'll get you a Ball Hog jersey.
I'm in.
Give me
and
one,
I'll
too.
Wear it. We want Ball Hog jerseys, double X. Brian Scalabrine, we got to go. Great
Small.
Stuff, Scal. We look forward to talking to you again, brother.
Okay, guys. See ya.